Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 7:15, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Bruce Jenelson, our friend, professor of public policy, political science at Duke University, previously worked in the State Department and on the Middle East peace process, so he's been in the rooms and knows the players. How you doing, Bruce?
I'm doing okay, Tommy. Hope you are as well.
I am, sir. Thank you. Tell me the latest on the war in Gaza and President Trump's plan, and where do we stand?
Yeah, you know, we actually have pretty serious peace talks going on for the first time in a long time. They're not the grand peace that the president talked about, you know, a week and a half ago, but it could get to some of the really pressing issues like getting the Israeli hostages home, getting humanitarian aid into Gaza, at least a ceasefire in the war, which isn't everything. You've really got to end the war, but, you know, President Trump sent his son-in-law and his, you know, top diplomat. The Egyptians, they're happening in Cairo. Other countries in the region, like Qatar, are involved. Hamas is there. Prime Minister Netanyahu sent one of his close aides. So, you know, we go up and down in the Middle East way too much. But at least I can say there are serious talks going on.
So did Israel cross the bridge too far when they went into Qatar?
Yeah, for sure. You know, for sure. You know, Qatar was trying to help with the peace talks. They're an independent country. President Trump had made a trip there a couple months ago, and, you know, all sorts of deals were struck. You know, the only good thing to come out of that was, let's just say, it got President Trump pretty angry and irritated and led him to put more pressure on Prime Minister Netanyahu and had this apology call when Netanyahu was in the Oval Office. But in some ways gave a push to saying, okay, Netanyahu, you know, Trump supports you, but he's not going to support everything that you do.
So what can President Trump do? What is the power that the American president has if he, like you said, he got angry with the Qatar thing, and I understand that, but because he's trying to put this plan together and then you got people sabotaging it on both sides, what can he do, Bruce? What kind of power does he have?
You know, his most important leverage right now is with Prime Minister Netanyahu. You know, remember back in February when they first met at the beginning of the Trump administration, you know, they had this crazy idea that they were, a really awful idea, they're going to get all the Palestinians to leave and, you know, create fancy hotels, you know, Mar-a-Gaza, as people called it. But at other times, he's felt that Netanyahu has gotten in the way of wins that Trump wants. And Netanyahu has believed that whatever pressure is coming from Europe and others in the U.S., he could fall back on Trump. The Israeli people really, really want the hostages to come home, and they're prepared to end the war and figure out a way to deal with Hamas, you know, far short of this unrealistic notion of obliterating them. And Netanyahu, frankly, has wanted to continue the war for two reasons. One, he faces some charges that as long as he's prime minister, they can't come against him in courts. And secondly, his own right wing are people that are pressuring him to actually make all of Gaza and the West Bank part of Israel. And so it's his political and personal motivations. And Trump can bring some pressure there saying, I'm not going to support you all the time. That's his main leverage. The rest of it, you know, working all that out is going to take a lot more than announcing it in the White House. You know, it's a lot of rolling up your sleeves and working out details and make things stick, which is not Trump's strong suit.
When it comes to the hostages, you know, yesterday I think it was a 2-year anniversary. Do they have any idea who's still alive and who's not?
You know, they're estimates, you know. In fact, you know, Hamas has said, and I think, you know, they're not even sure where all the remains and the hostages are. They've sort of sent them to different parts of Gaza, and you know, put them, made deals with different, you know, criminal groups that are watching them. They don't really know. So the estimates.
Wait, did you say remains or hostages?
Both the remains of dead ones and the hostages themselves. Okay. And so the ones alive, guesses are in the 20s or 30s, but it's really, really hard to know.
Yeah, and do we have any idea what life has been like for those people in the last 2 years?
Well, I can tell you, we had one of the hostages here at Duke earlier in September who'd been in captivity for, I think, 505 days. And he was a young guy, you know, who was at the music festival. And he, you know, he spoke about the terrible conditions. He spoke about his own struggles. One of the other hostages has a book that's just come out in English. You know, it's been terrible, and there's no revolutionary rationale for that. At the same time, there's no security rationale for what Israel has done to the starvation and the massive killing of the Palestinian people. We've really got big, you know, flaws and deep violations of codes of ethics on both sides.
So let me pick your brain about your guest when we come back, because I'd like to know what he had to say about how he would envision this whole thing ending, considering, talk about skin in the game, 500 days plus held as a hostage. We're talking to Bruce Jennelson, professor of public safety, political science at Duke University. Previously worked in the State Department and on the Middle East peace process. We value him because he's been there in the room and he knows which he speaks. 721 Traffic Now, WWL. 726, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to our friend Bruce Jennelson, professor of public policy, political science at Duke University, previously worked in the State Department and on the Middle East peace process, talking about Israel and Gaza. Bruce, I got to pick your brain a little bit. You said you had a guest at Duke that was held hostage for 500-something days. Did that person express any opinions on how they would like to see this thing settled or solved?
Yeah, get the other hostages home. Okay. And it's been the hostage families that have been in the streets of Tel Aviv and Jerusalem leading the pressure on Netanyahu's government to get the hostages home. And they have nothing nice to say about Hamas, but they really have come to the realization that this war is counterproductive. It's not getting the hostages home. It's hurting Israel. I mean, you even had one of the former heads of the Shin Bet, you know, which is their equivalent of the CIA, coming out and saying, look, this war is hurting us, not just the Palestinians. So their primary thing is get the hostage home. We'll find one of these. You're going to have to do it through negotiations, diplomacy, change of government, you know, to reduce Hamas's role there. But this notion that you're going to fight the war until you get the last Hamas, you know, supporter out, only endangers the lives of the hostages and also endangers the lives of Israeli soldiers.
Is this analogous to Nixon using Vietnam to prop up his administration?
Nixon didn't at that point face any, you know, criminal charges like Netanyahu does. Ultimately, you know, he did, but he also ultimately negotiated a deal. It took a while, but he did. And Netanyahu, you know, has been someone that his support in Israel, you know, in public opinion is in the 20%. And again, he has some members of his government that, you know, are even more extreme than he is. They want to get rid of all the Palestinians. They want to claim all of that land with their version of a biblical right, which many rabbis even don't agree with. And so it is him, but it's not just him. It's these other elements that have gotten power in the Israeli government.
When it comes to Hamas, I got people texting in about you got to destroy Hamas, and you yourself just said it's not going to work to kill a last Hamas member because I guess what I'm wondering, Bruce, Hamas is an organization, but it's also an ideology, is it not?
You're exactly right, you know, and just think of all the people you're radicalizing, you know, kids who will eventually grow up, and, you know, they may not call themselves Hamas, but they would do something, you know, something like that. And, you know, part of the plans in the Trump plan, but also in the plans that others, the French and the Saudis put forward, is you bring in what they call an international stabilization force, a peacekeeping force, no American boots on the ground, but they come from the surrounding countries, and you create a governance structure for more moderate Palestinians, you know, Palestinians that, you know, have had some other roles. And you reduce Hamas power and you show that the Palestinian people can have a life better without Hamas.
Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate your time and your insights as always. Bruce Jennelson, professor of public policy, political science at Duke University. We're going to take a break. Somebody tell me something? Thought I heard something. I don't know. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Donna Williams, Professor of Public Health, Director of Louisiana Cancer Prevention and Control Program for LSU Health New Orleans. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And we're going to talk about it. You know, when you talk about Hamas and killing the last Hamas member and taking away the last weapon, it's easy to say, but again, keep in mind Hamas is an ideology, and the other part of that is we can't keep guns out of the hands of 13-year-olds in this country. So how are you going to tell me that you're not going to have a group of Hamas people that get armed again? We'll be back, WWL. 7:45.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Quarter till 8, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and Donna Williams joins us now, Professor of Public Health and Director in the Louisiana Cancer Prevention and Control Program for the LSU Health for LSU Health New Orleans. Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. Great to talk with you again, Tommy.
Thanks for taking the time with us. We appreciate it. We tend to say breast cancer and use it as a catch-all term, but there are different types of breast cancer, correct?
That's correct, but the vast majority of them are what we would consider a very common breast cancer that most of us know someone who's had. There are rare breast cancers, and there are families that have higher risk, but for most people, it's a general risk. It's a very curable cancer.
I was going to ask you about that. What kind of inroads have been made when it comes to breast cancer, both awareness and treatment?
Well, let's talk about treatment. Again, the vast majority of breast cancers are what we would consider a very common breast cancer. And when detected early, the cure rates are upward of 90%. And the treatment is a process. There would be surgery where the small lump would be removed and a little bit of the tissue around it. And then radiation therapy, which is where x-rays are just focused on the area to kill any remaining cancer cells that were missed for a few weeks. And then hormonal therapy, which is just a pill to block the hormones that the cancer would feed on. So in the big scheme of things, it's a little bump in the road. It's a process, but again, completely curable.
So the reason I mentioned awareness, because to me, Doctor, that goes to early diagnosis, right?
Yeah. Yes. And if you don't mind, I'll tell you a story.
I would love it.
In 1990, my mother was diagnosed with breast cancer. She was getting her regular mammograms, which is the best way to detect breast cancer, and they found a small lump. And, of course, our family was very frightened and devastated at the time. I can tell you she did exactly what I just told you. She had the lump removed, she had radiation, and she had hormone therapy. She's now 88 years old and makes me go to the gym with her.
So I am very passionate
about early detection. It absolutely works.
I know breast cancer survivors myself, and obviously she has to have follow-up checkups, right? Make sure everything's still good?
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So tell me,
for
women that are listening, I don't understand where the guidelines are with mammograms or when they should start or how often women should have them. And I guess it is just women or not?
Yes, there's no screening for men. Breast cancer in men is extremely rare. Of course, men should always be aware of any changes around their breasts. But for women, the vast majority of women at 40 should begin to have their mammograms. If they're average risk, they can have that every 2 years. But they should also begin discussions with their physicians, their primary care physician, to see if they have any family risk. First degree relatives, that is, mothers, grandmothers, sisters, that have had breast cancer. If anyone in the family has been diagnosed with a particular mutation that would lead them to have higher risk for the rarer breast cancers, they of course would be on a different track of follow up for that. But for most women, it's start at age 40.
So when you talk about genetic predisposition, is there some kind of, I don't know, blood test or something that could be taken that would expose whether or not a woman in her 20s or 30s has this genetic predisposition toward breast cancer? And doctor, if I'm using words that are hurting myself, help me, stop me here. I don't mean to, but I'm just wondering.
You got it. You're okay. Spot on. There are blood tests to look for these specific gene markers that would predispose women to these more rare breast cancers. There is, before they would even get to that point, though, there would be some questions to determine if they even have that family history that would necessitate that they get that blood test. And if there's no family history, or the only family history, or like my mother, it's a very common, regular, run-of-the-mill breast cancer, then you wouldn't need to go that route. So this would only be where there's a lot of family history of breast cancer.
And when you say first degree, that would be like mom or?
Mom, sister, even maybe grandmother.
And what about, let me take a break here. We'll pick it up when we get back. 7:50, 10 till 8, talking to Dr. Donna Williams, Professor of Public Health, Director of Louisiana Cancer Prevention and Control Programs for LSU Health New Orleans. If you all have any questions about breast cancer, I would love for you to text them in at 504-260-1870. I'll pass them along to Dr. Williams. When we come back, please no texting and driving. Traffic now, WWL. 7:57, Tommy Tucker, WWL Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we're talking to our friend Dr. Donna Williams, Professor of Public Health, Director of Louisiana Cancer Prevention and Control Program for LSU Health New Orleans. Doc, let's talk about some things, preventative measures that women can take, because I'm getting a lot of texts about that, about their moms and sisters and wives, things that women can do to proactively prevent breast cancer. Is there a thing, such a thing, or things?
Absolutely, and I love that question. That's one of my favorite topics. There are things all of us can do, and the good news is this is a healthy way to live anyway. It's not just going to help with breast cancer, but it's going to make you healthier in general, and that's that good diet that's full of the fresh fruits and vegetables and fish and things like that. Reduce, fats and meat and ultra-processed foods, and also get that exercise, keep your weight to a normal level. Those are all been absolutely proven to reduce the risk of breast cancer. Breastfeeding also reduces the risk of breast cancer. And breastfeeding, again, is good for your child and good for you. Same thing with, that healthy lifestyle, a healthy diet and exercise is going to be good for you on a lot of levels, but will absolutely reduce your risk of breast cancer. Don't smoke, keep your alcohol intake to a reasonable amount. All of those things are going to be helpful.
When it comes to treatment, Doc, it's not the same as it used to be with radical mastectomies, right?
Correct. Now it's a lumpectomy when it's detected early. It's only in this late stage disease that you have to have the radical mastectomy and then chemotherapy. For early detection, when it's found when it's small, again, get that mammogram every 2 years. When it's found small, it's just remove the lump and a little bit of the tissue around it. So it's going to make a huge difference. And then no chemo, no nausea, no vomiting, no hair loss, none of that.
How often should women self-examine?
You should always be, well, not you, but women should always be aware of any changes to their breasts. So when you're getting dressed, when you're looking in the mirror, take a look, feel around, if you feel any lumps, if you see any changes, any little dimpling, any changes to the skin, redness, things like that, then you need to check in with your doctor.
Thank you, Doctor. I appreciate your time and your insight, and let's hope we did some good for some people. Donna Williams, Professor of Public Health, Director of Louisiana Cancer Prevention Control Program for LSU Health New Orleans. We're going to come back, talk about violent crime with Ronald Surpass. Then we'll talk with Deuce McAllister about the Saints. A lot coming up. Stay with us. Tommy Tucker, WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.